I'm just saying, not only are you not only are you adopted, but even your birth mother had sex with the mailman and had you.
So I know who my father is. I just don't know who my mother is.
Yes. It's like Bastard Inception.
That shit is deep.
All right, guys. Nothing Important Podcast, episode 23. No guests this week because they weren't able to make it on the phone. I'm fucking guessing, but that's okay. Dave and I tell a great story from our past that we wanted to share with you that basically puts our whole philosophy about podcasts and life in general out there for everybody to hear. It's the embodiment of fake it till you make it. Let's go.
You're listening to Nothing Important. Please enjoy the show.
Actually, I know something we can talk about, Dave. For those of you listening, Dave and I have actually been waiting. We had another guest on this week, and it doesn't look like they're going to make their call time, Dave, considering call time was 28 minutes ago.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of hard to be charming if punctuality is an issue.
Exactly. That's okay. Maybe there's some miscommunication.
Yeah, no, I was actually listening to his podcast today, and he is a very, very busy man, so I totally get it.
Absolutely. Like, that's the thing about it. Like, we've had like a really good run lately of people who actually want to talk to us. And I actually have a bunch of people that I'm working on and setting up. It's almost become like another full-time job for me. But what's cool is like people ask me, first off, I mean, I talk to my friends about the podcast, right? Cause it's like, you know, I'm married with two kids, so besides this and Nintendo, it's not like I got a lot going on. You know right. what I mean? It's not like there's a lot of like, oh man, I totally went out and got wasted Saturday and fucking fell off a bridge and broke my leg type shit going on in my life anymore, right?
Right.
So
yeah,
it's exactly. Like, so it's like awkward when I go meet friends at a bar because they're all telling these like ridiculous stories and I'm like, well, I talked to Bald Brian from Adam Carolla.
So, and that can go either way because some people listen to it and they're like, oh, yeah, I know. And then the other people don't give a shit. So they're like, who gives a shit? So it's like a lose-lose situation there, you know? It's like the conversation right. never goes past that point. It's always like, oh, yeah?
Well, half the people are like, what the fuck is a podcast?
Grandma, it's a radio broadcast that you download.
Yeah. But I guess my point is people always ask me, they're like, why, how do you get these people to talk to you? Why do they want to talk to you? And I'm like, I don't have any clue. I have no fucking clue why anybody would want. I mean, it's cool, and I'm having a lot of fun doing it, and we've talked to like some super cool people, but like I have no idea why anybody would want to talk to us at all.
What is the lesson that we learned on spring break?
That the beach nachos are great because they're double fried.
Okay, yes, the jokey side of me always says that. Who the hell fries right. their chips? But the other thing I always say, I don't know if I ever said that to you, the lesson that we learned on spring break.
What's the lesson that we learned on spring break?
If you act like you're supposed to be there, you're supposed to be there.
Oh, yeah, you absolutely, know? Yeah.
It's the same concept. Like, we got all that special treatment at these stupid bars being some shitty, retarded fucking band, but, you know, but we were nobody. It's the same thing with the podcast. You just act like you're, like, some legit operation, and then we end up legitimizing ourselves in reverse, and now it is, like, cool and people enjoy it and have referred people to us, which is awesome.
Right, absolutely. But because of that, like, that's why I don't get mad if like real people flake. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like I totally understand that, because especially if you're like in the entertainment business and if you do this for an actual living and your thing is to make money, like, yeah, you could talk to us and reach, you know, a few thousand people or maybe even tens of thousands of people over the course of like X amount of time. But, you know, or you could go with like somebody more legit and like in 5 minutes reach 10 million people. True you know story. What I mean?
Yeah.
So like, I don't get mad. I don't get mad at that shit at all, because we kind of just started this for fun, and then, you know, compared to what our expectations were, it kind of just like blew up on us a right. little bit, and it's been a hell of a ride. But you know, but to bring it back to what you were talking about on spring break, so a lot of people out there might not know, but a long time ago, Dave and I and our buddies Brent and Tim and Doug, Tarantula Doug.
Tarantula Doug.
That's his full name, Doug Tarantula Doug.
He's way too invested in Transformers right now, which is the saddest sentence I've spoken all day.
Yeah, you should be ashamed of that. But way back in the day, we're talking like what, Dave? This has to be like shit, like 10 years ago now?
9 years right? ago.
But the band, we started our band even way before that.
9 years before that. We're 50 yeah. years old.
Oh. We are old as fuck. So eventually what happened is Dave and I approached having a band kind of the very much the same way that we approached the podcast, like no real expectations, not even thinking that we'd ever make a dime off of it, and just right. kind of be like, fuck it. Let's act like idiots, and maybe we'll get to do some cool shit.
Let's act like idiots where anybody can see that wants to.
Yeah, let's act like idiots where there's like a giant audience for us to act like idiots right? and embarrass our fucking families, which is pretty much what we did. So anyway, indeed. After years and years and many iterations of this band and playing all over and playing everything from like backyard parties to like open mic nights to like legit underground clubs and places in Chicago and shit, we ended up going traveling from Illinois to Daytona Beach for spring break. When the fuck was that? Like 05, 06?
Spring break 06.
06. And we came up with this ridiculous idea. Like Dave said, like, well, let's just act like we're a lot cooler than we are.
right.
Fuck it. If we're going to go through it, let's just act like we're something somebody should give a shit about, when in reality, we're kind of not. But the beauty of it is we have some kick-ass friends who were always in on the joke.
Right.
And then what made it awesome is those kick-ass friends were so in on the joke that they would convince their friends that we were serious. So those people were in on the joke unbeknownst to them,
yes.
Right. So we go on spring break, and one day I'm at this like shitty job working the phones at some fucking cubicle planning my escape from fucking Illinois. And I was just like, well, you know, I was sitting there thinking, I was like, man, the only real difference between booking a show down the street and booking a show in like, say, like fucking Nevada would be, I just got to drive to Nevada.
Yeah. Like, you just have to get there somehow.
I just have to fucking get there. So over the course of the year, I concocted this entire scheme, and I worked with a gentleman named Amit from Daytona Beach, Florida, who's still a good buddy of mine. So hello, Amit and Brittany,
hello,
if you
Amit.
Listen. You probably don't, but hello. So over the course of the year, I worked it out with them that we would bring a bus full of people. Our band would play the hotel pool deck. He would set it up so we got to play in bars and shit. And we would basically act like rock stars, right, Dave?
We wanted to see how far it could go. Yes.
Yeah. And it got even more ridiculous because as we kept setting it up more and more and more and more, it just got absolutely more asinine. Like to the fact that like if people rode the bus with us, they would get like special rates on the hotel. And then we had like a select group of like five of our biggest friends who were our staff.
The security personnel.
Yeah, security personnel. And we actually had them bright yellow shirts with staff across the back. And I'm pretty sure we even like made up a tour name for the front of the shirt. It was something like our band Traveling Keg Tour, right?
Was that what it was? Yes, the Traveling Keg Tour.
Traveling fucking Keg Tour. So now you have like 40 fucking drunk ass people on a bus riding 24 hours all the way down to Daytona, basically spilling out and filling up an entire fucking hotel.
The lead singer of the band and the one who set this all up, throwing up in the bus half an hour after it left town.
Yeah, okay, so that's me. So on a side note, okay, so like our band pretty much fronted the money for this goddamn bus, which for us at the time was a lot of damn money, right? There was a lot of free beer for tip gigs that went into getting this fucking bus. And so I made the rule. I'm like, hey, anybody pukes on the bus, you get punched in the face. It's just the way it goes. You puke on the bus, you get punched in the face. So all I know is about maybe a few hours after we boarded the bus, I'm no longer sitting. I wake up and I'm no longer sitting where I was seated. And our friend Jeff, who was actually on the podcast with Greg Johnson, is looking at me, and I wake up and I'm like, what? And he's like, well, are you ready? And I'm like, ready for what? He's like, ready to get punched in the face? And I'm like, why? What'd I do? And apparently, I broke my own rule. I drank so much alcohol in the first half hour. I got drunk, threw up, and then decided I was Godzilla and started stomping people's styrofoam coolers down the length of the bus, and I passed out in the seat next to the driver. But let the record show, I took my punch to the face like a man. I didn't try to back out of it. I said, okay, fair enough. You get punched in the face, and Jeff punched me right in the fucking face.
That's one thing our friend Brian, that's one thing about our friend Brian. He doesn't welch on bets.
That's right.
So, and he breaks his own rules a lot.
So then we show up at this hotel down Daytona Beach, and we play like some shows on the pool deck. Like, our friends gave a fuck or pretended to give a fuck. Nobody else really gave a shit. But for us, it was just kind of fun playing some rock and roll and cussing unnecessarily, like in public with a speaker stack, you know, pointed right at the beach in Daytona Beach. People walking by and be like, who the fuck are those idiots in cut off jean shorts and giant foam floppy cowboy hats and whatever the fuck we had on the beach. And we were with our, friends, 10 Minute Vision, who I'm sure we'll have some of them on the podcast eventually. Actually, we did.
We had the bass player,
Matt Biskey. Yeah. Well, Matt Biskey.
Yeah. Matt Biskey in the Island City.
Who was one of our mid-show music breaks, was the lead singer of this band, 10 Minute Vision.
Yeah, and Chris from Devil's Trumpet Brewing Company was the bass player for 10 Minute Vision.
That's right, absolutely. So it was just
Andy from the Vaudevillains, who we had as a mid-show music break, was in 10 Minute Vision.
Okay, so pretty much all of our friends have been on the podcast.
We had to get Casey on, but Casey don't talk so much.
Yeah, it'll happen. So one night we get to go to this club. What the fuck was that? Was that Razzles or some shit down in Daytona Beach?
I don't even remember the names of the clubs, dude. Honestly.
I'm pretty sure it was Razzles. So we go to this club, Razzles, and the funny thing about it, this was when Daytona Beach actually mattered for spring break, right? It hasn't mattered in years, but
back
I think
in
this was
2005, Daytona Beach was the place where the kids would go play beach blanket bingo. Sorry.
Right. It was probably one of the last few years that it really actually mattered down there.
Maybe we killed it.
I'd like to think so. So anyway, so like all these like scantily clad like whores and all these like douchey ass dudes are all lined up waiting to go into Razzles. And I think this is about the time when Dave Chappelle, it was still funny to yell the Rick James bitch thing.
Yeah, I think so.
I distinctly remember like standing around people, and for some reason everybody just kept yelling, I'm Rick James, and doing that whole like Little John okay thing that Dave Chappelle used to do.
What did the five fingers say to the face, Brian?
Slap. Exactly. Yeah. Like it was like the summer of Dave Chappelle's bullshit. Like,
I think that's that might have been the year he lost his shit.
It might have been. And deservedly so, because that I didn't enjoy his show, but like fucking douchey ass white dudes running around screaming okay in your ear. Man, that was fucking obnoxious.
Yeah, he became a victim of his own genius.
He did. So we pull up to Razzles, and there's like all these lines of these douchebags from all over the country, you know, with like at the time, I think like guys like spiked their hair and had the stupid little highlights in it.
Frosted and, tips.
With frosted tips. And I remember back time
pink polos.
Shoes.
That was the start of the pink polo era.
Yeah. And remember like dudes used to wear.
We brought somebody with a pink polo and he got all kinds of shit about it.
And remember dudes used to wear. Like, they'd wear nice jeans, but I always remember, like, the black dress shoes with the big fucking belt buckle on them, like they were a fucking leprechaun or some shit.
Yeah, the pilgrim shoes.
Like, you know
shoes.
What I'm talking about? Right, yeah. So
and the girls, like the girls had the black bar pants with the open back shirts. Every back was exposed.
Fucking A, like man. It was, I guess just a sign of the times from way back when. Now, for the record, Dave and I are kind of plain and really lame, and I pretty much wear plain t-shirts and blue jeans. Now, and that's exactly what I've been wearing since like fifth grade.
I wear sports shirts and cargo shorts, and I think I've been wearing the same pair since fifth grade.
And it's not because Dave and I are hipsters and against trends. It's just that we're that fucking boring and clueless when it comes to fashion.
Clueless is a good word to use there. Yeah, I bought a collared shirt the other day. I was excited because I bought a collared shirt.
I have to in my real life job, I have to wear suit and ties, and I would be more comfortable wearing like a halter top and a G-string and walking to the Mariano's two blocks away from my house than I am every day going to work in a suit and tie. I just feel incredibly fucking awkward. So while all these people are waiting in line, we fucking pull up in a bus with 30 people, two fucking bands, and five guys that have bright yellow shirts on that say the Traveling Keg Tour, with staff across the back, and instantly people started murmuring, like, who the fuck are they? Who the fuck are they? And, like, the thing is, we looked so legit, they let us in the fucking VIP entrance. So, like, this big bus parks, a fucking entourage of 50 people comes off the fucking bus, and we walk past the line, and then there's just, like, this dude with, like, the shitty little douchey monitor that probably didn't go to anybody sticking in his fucking ear, and, like, waving us in the VIP entrance. And that night, As we enter the bar, like, everybody's like, who the fuck are those guys? Who the fuck are those guys? So then we start, like, concocting this, like, ridiculous-ass story that our band was, like,
I got to go on record here.
Okay.
You printed out, with the itinerary, our backstory.
Oh.
It was totally premeditated. We knew what we were doing.
See, I forget little details like that. So to me, it seems spontaneous, but awesome. If I made, well, good. See, I scripted it out. See, I had this all planned.
We had to improvise, though, because they let us into our own special area. I think they said, like, they wouldn't give us drinks or something. I remember, like, somebody going up to the bartender and they slapping on a huge tip and being like, see those guys over there? We're with them. We got to take care of them. So, hook us up and let us get to the front of line anytime we need a pitcher. So we never waited for a beer.
Exactly.
And the lines were ridiculous. Like, people would, because it was happy hour.
Right. People it was were like waiting free beer for the first like 3 hours or some shit like that, right?
Most people are getting like two or three beers the whole time. We're getting like five or six pitchers a piece.
First off, I can't believe they gave us their own little area, and all the bouncers bought that we were like a legit band. And the only real repercussions we had is they also had bright yellow shirts that said staff across the back of it.
Right.
So, like, our quote unquote security guys had to turn the shirt inside out.
Right.
That was the only thing I remember. But my brother Kyle, who I'm sure will be on the podcast sometime, and he's probably listening right now.
I hope so. Hey, Kyle.
He was our head of security, quote unquote. And I'll never forget, there was this line for free beer just going out the fucking door, and people are just kind of shuffling, inching towards the front of the bar, one at a time, just trying to get their drink. And every time we needed a drink, my brother would just walk up and, like, basically stick his hand in the chest of the first person up and do, like, the silent, like, cool guy, like, cock his head back and wave somebody over from our entourage to go get a fucking drink. And then he would just kind of do, like, kind of the half-ass douchey thing where, like, he pulls his hand away, but it's still somehow, like a threatening push. You know what I mean? Like he's totally getting his hand off whoever he's touching, but for some reason it's still unnecessarily aggressive. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Exactly. I know.
And then he would just stand there with his arms crossed next to the line, just waiting for the next one of us to get a drink, and he'd do it all over again. And it didn't matter, man, woman, or child. He would just stop people from getting a drink. It was so fucking awesome.
I love how epically lame our stories are. Like, that's so kind of lame, but we find it so hilarious because it just gets in people's way a little bit.
I remember Jeff, The dude who was on with us with Greg Johnson, man, that was like way back episode like 12 or something like that. Right. But anyway, he was our manager, and he would argue with the staff of the bar, like little shit, like we didn't have fucking napkins, and they were playing songs we didn't fucking like. Like who the fuck were we? And I'll never forget. I don't remember the conversation. We're gonna have to have Jeff on again. But like, I distinctly remember watching him in the face of the night manager for that bar, complaining that our beer was like taking too long to get to us, even though we had my brother, who's a 6'4", solid rip, 200-pound dude, pushing people in the chest so we could cut the line. And being the great manager that he was, Jeff was arguing with the manager of Razzle's in Daytona Beach that was still too fucking slow a service for us.
See, I think what makes us is the fact that we feel we get as much special treatment as a quote-unquote legitimate band would deserve. Like, who the fuck are you? Because you're in some stupid band. So we're just like, well, we can do this shit too.
Right. You know. Well, remember one of our first gigs, Dave? We were, it's not even there anymore, but it was like the Lizard's Lounge and fucking, in Bloomington, Illinois, and there was some asshole that told me to go get him a drink, and I'm like, hey, fuck you, dude. Like you're still playing the same shitty bar I am. Go fuck yourself.
Oh, yeah, that was the band with the Jaeger bus from Poland.
Yeah.
Warsaw.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
Was that who that was?
I think they were called Warsaw. Maybe they were from Poland. They were called Warsaw, so I called them Polish.
So overall, it was just an absolutely ridiculous time in our lives. Like we were traveling, not too far, but we were traveling with buddies and drinking and getting kicked out of hotel rooms, which is like a story for another time. And we pretended like we were a real band, and we went to Florida and we acted like a real fucking band, and nobody was the wiser.
Nobody was the wiser. Nobody questioned it.
And here we are, a decade later. We still hang out with the same dorks that we hung out with back then, and we're doing the same goddamn thing on the podcast. It's like we are the epitome of fake it till you make it, folks. I have no idea how Dave and I never thought once that we would ever get to talk to like Bald Brian or Greg Johnson or some of the people we have lined up or fucking Patrick Fabian or, you know, Julian right. Emery, Ray Seahorn, like none of those people. And some of the people that I have lined up who have given me like tentative agreements, I'm just surprised that they've given me tentative agreements.
Yeah, right?
Like we don't got the date or time set because, you know, they're fucking busy, but like they know who I am and they would probably, you know, if they could fit it in, you know, they're at least familiar with me enough to where like they could try to work it in or they've had my email. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's why as we record this, we were actually waiting for our guest today to record, and we didn't get a chance to, but that's okay. I'll email him because I know he's busy. He's a busy dude, and I can't wait to talk to him because I've read a little bit about him, and he's had a pretty fucking interesting life. But he's had other shit to do tonight, so that's okay. Moving on. And I hope you've enjoyed me and Dave basically telling. Well, why we told that spring break story is because.
Why did we tell that story, Brian?
Well, we told that story because to go back to when, like I said, everybody keeps asking me, like, how are you getting these people? How are you getting these people? Right?
Right.
And it's because I don't see a reason why I can't get those people.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, I mean? And I had mentioned to a friend of mine about, you know, it's really cool. We're getting like some of these really like legitimate people in their industry, and they have every right to have like a huge ego or be a dick, but they're really cool about it. And his response was, yeah, like 95% of people in the world are actually pretty cool, dude. It's just the 5% that put out a bad image or make people like think a certain way about celebrity or whatever, you know?
Right.
And I was like, you know, that's a good point. Like a lot of people would be cool because if it was me, I would be cool.
Right, you absolutely. So we got some cool guests coming up next week. I hope you enjoyed our little story. Remember, guys, just fake it till you make it, and eventually you'll make it. And that doesn't sound like the best moral of the story, but you might not be famous, and you might not be rich, but if you just kind of do what you want to do, as funny as it sounds, you'll have some kick-ass experiences.
And if you're not doing it for that reason, you're doing it for the wrong reason.
Make sure to hit us up on Twitter at notimportantpc.com. We've got like a whopping 10 more Twitter followers, so we're slowly headed back up. Keep watching nothingimportantpodcast.com. We got a bunch of kick-ass people coming up. I hope you enjoy your fucking Friday. You have a weekend coming up. And actually, Dave and I are actually recording a couple days from now at my house here in Chicago. It'll be a fun time then, too.
Yeah, it'll be first time recording in person in like a month.
Yeah, I miss you, guy.
And yeah, man, likewise. So we're gonna have a nice little conversation and
hopefully bring on some of our friends.
Some of our friends hopefully will join us and some other surprises for fans of previous endeavors.
Yep, and we're gonna record soon. I'm working on some big surprises for It's All Goodman. Once again, remember we've had a few of the primary cast, and I got a couple more on the line. I just have to reel them in. So from Dave and Brian, a Nothing Important podcast. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Say the line,
Dave.
Yes,
you can stop recording now.